time once again for Community Forum, and we're very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning, Safin Rafiq Khan and Satnath Saranji. Safin Rafiq Khan is co-founder of Children Against Dow Carbide. Her parents were exposed to poisonous gases that leaked from Union Carbide's pesticide factory in Bhopal, India. And Satnath Saranji is a longtime activist with Bhopal Campaign for Justice. Safin and Satnath, thank you both very much for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you.
If we could begin, let's start out and tell us about what happened back on December 3rd of 1984 in Bhopal.
What happened was there was a toxic gas leak in the middle of the night from a pesticide factory that was designed, owned, and operated by Union Carbide Corporation, USA. And this was methyl isocyanate, extremely toxic, and it was released, and there was no warning from the factory management, no one to tell people which way to run, or that they could actually protect themselves by putting wet cloth over their mouth and nose. So people didn't know. And people only came to know when their houses were surrounded by this extremely toxic gas cloud. And people ran into the cloud and in the direction of the wind, which they inhaled more and more of the gas. It was so irritant that their eyes swelled up, their lungs secreted so much water that many died by drowning in their own body fluids. There people were, by the morning, there were more than 8,000 people dead on the streets. And then what research showed, it was the poison that they inhaled actually went into their bloodstream and caused damage to almost every organ in the body. So many people who have survived, in fact, wish that they had died that night so that they would not have to go through this prolonged suffering and torture because of their health damages.
It was compounded by it happened at night while people slept, so you have descriptions on your website of people waking up and their children coughing and being surrounded by white gas.
Yeah, and not knowing. And only thing that people knew was from others who did not know that it was a gas leak, and they thought that because something so strong could only come from burning chili peppers. So they thought that somewhere some warehouse full of chili peppers had caught fire. And they just ran to save themselves. And the tragedy is that the more people ran, the more they inhaled the gas.
And 27 tons is what I've read, is the amount of...
Yes, 27 tons of methyl isocyanate. But this was at a high temperature, so there was also the thermal degradation products of methyl isocyanate, which included hydrogen cyanide, monomethylamine, and so far as we know, at least 17 other toxic chemicals. So it was a cocktail, and that came down on the people like a 30-feet high cloud and went through the city, exposing more than 500,000 people.
Now, what was the cause of this leak?
The immediate cause was the entrance of water into the tank, the methyl isocyanate tank. And this happened because of leaking valves and there being no pressure in the tank. But the fundamental causes, which are probably more important, was that the factory was under-designed to start with. Substandard materials were used, and according to the company's own documents, untested technology was sent to Bhopal. So there were major design differences when you compare it with the Institute West Virginia plant that the company ran in USA and the Bhopal plant. There was cutting down of safety systems. So, and some of the safety systems were cut down to save something like just $30 a day. And this started in 1980. When the Union Carbide started a global economy drive. And that meant cutting down of the refrigeration unit. That meant retrenching workers so that earlier workers were doing 6 months of safety training and it came down to just 15 days of safety training. And it meant that the operation of the plant became much more... They used cheap ways to do it. Instead of six people in the maintenance crew, there were only two. So all these compounded, fact that it was hazardously designed, fact that it was unsafely operated, and most importantly, the fact that it was located in the midst of populated settlements. So within a mile of the factory, there were at least 200,000 people living.
And also, I gathered from one of your websites is that there was they did have safety systems, but all six of them were disabled to one degree or another.
That is true. They were turned off. But the fact is that safety systems were so under-designed that had they been working, and because the amount of gas escaping at high pressure was so much, that the safety system would not have worked even if they were working. So the point is that it was just hazardously designed with no concern about the life and health of people who were living in the neighborhood.
And again, as you say, it was put in a densely populated area that was primarily poor people living there.
I mean, you can imagine the factory was just 1 mile from the bus stop, about a mile from, as the crow flies, from the railway station. And most people, more than 70%, were people who lived as through their hard work. They are among the poorest in the city.
So you literally arrived there the day after the accident, and Safreen's parents were directly affected by this as well.
That is correct. Safreen's parents and her eldest brother were exposed. I heard about it on the radio, and then I thought I should do something, whatever I could do. I was not a medical person, but I thought everybody could do something. And I went there thinking I would spend a week providing relief, and I just happened to continue to stay, and so it's been now more than 24 years for me.
So what was both India's and Bhopal's response afterwards, and what was Union Carbide's response after this?
Mm-hmm. The government did not actually cover itself with glory after the disaster in its response, because one of the first things that government vehicles were doing that night while the gas was still leaking was to carry dead bodies. The government vehicles were employed to carry dead bodies from the streets and dump them into Narmada River and a forest just to bring down the death count. But the corporations was even more horrendous. 2 hours into the disaster, the works manager of the plant was still denying to the government officials that there was a leak when already the city had been covered with the gas. And the next thing that the corporation did was to deny that it was because of design problems or design changes that they had made in the Bhopal plant. What they did was they blamed an unnamed worker who they claimed was disgruntled enough to cause this sabotage. And since then, it has been a long story of liability evasion, of withholding information, of filing, which now Dow Chemical is doing, of filing suits against people who are raising genuine issues. So that has been, and all with the support, most times quite glaring, with the support of the Indian government, and unfortunately with the U.S. government. There's a long history of how the U.S. government has supported Union Carbide and now Dow Chemical, its current owner, for them to continue to perpetrate these crimes in Bhopal.
So did Union Carbide do anything to make right on this?
The government of India took away the powers of the victims to represent themselves, and the government of India brought the case to U.S., So in the U.S., the government claimed $3.3 billion as damages to 500,000 people exposed. But then the case was sent back to India by the American court, saying that it was not a convenient forum, that the U.S. was not a convenient forum. And it was sent to India, and finally in 1989, the government of India made a collusive settlement on behalf of the victims, but without consulting a single victim, and the amount of settlement was just $470 million, one-seventh of the amount the government had claimed, which cost the corporation 43 cents per share, and to the individuals, victims, it only meant $500 for lifetime injuries, and $2,000 if there were deaths in the family. So that money has now gone to the victims, but it's been too paltry to make any real difference. It's not enough to even pay for their medical bills.
And you speak of medical bills, the downside of this continues with the chemicals that are still there at the plant, the chemicals that have been leached out into water systems and the environment. Can you talk about that? And then also talk about, since there has been such a lack of medical support, that you yourself have been involved with starting a medical facility.
Yeah. So there was a gas disaster, and from which people are still suffering. Even about 100,000 people are still with chronic illnesses. But there was the other disaster, which was a disaster caused by reckless dumping of hazardous waste during the period that the factory was running in routinely. What happened was, and that what used to happen was, the factory would discharge its effluents into the solar evaporation ponds. And what we know from internal communications of the company, that right in 1981, well before the disaster, the solar evaporation ponds that contained the toxic effluents had started leaking. We know this because telexes were sent from the Bhopal plant to the Danbury, Connecticut headquarters of Union Carbide. And this leaking never stopped. And so this other disaster is because of more than 10,000 tons of toxic waste being buried that are leaching into the groundwater and the solar evaporation ponds that used to overflow during every rains, which meant that today there are about 30,000 people who are living in 16 communities in the vicinity of the factory who have been drinking poisoned water for anywhere between 14 to 18 years. And what we see there, in among the gas-affected people, we find people are in the clinic that I'm part of, we find people coming with breathlessness, with pain in the joints, with all kinds of paralysis, loss of sensation, loss of power in the limbs, women with a range of menstrual irregularities and a host of mental health problems, anxiety, depression, panic attacks. Among the next generation of gas-affected people, of the children of the gas-affected, we find that their growth, physical growth and mental development is seriously impaired. They are shorter, thinner, lighter, have smaller heads. And then again we find another set of problems among the people who have been drinking this poisoned water. And there we find a range of skin disorders, extremely painful skin disorders. Also same lung problem, problems on the liver and the kidneys. And in this population particularly, we find horrific birth defects. Children are born with fused fingers, twisted limbs, cleft lips, missing palates. Children with damaged brains. And this continues. And people are still dying from the gas exposure. People in their 40s who have been exposed when they were little children, and who have known little respite from the illnesses caused by the exposure, they're still dying.
And it was in 2001 that Union Carbide was purchased by Dow Chemical. What has been Dow Chemical's response since they have taken over?
Dow has been following the same policy of double standard that Union Carbide was following, and which was essentially the cause for the disaster. And Dow took over Union Carbide, and it paid the damages that that the workers here in the U.S. were entitled to, damages because Union Carbide had victimized them with asbestos. And Dow paid out the compensation to these workers in Texas, in USA. But when it came to the Bhopal liabilities, Dow took a position that they would not take responsibility for a factory they never ran in a place they never went. And so they denied that any kind of liability, either for cleanup of the toxic waste, which in 2001 had spread to about more than 2 kilometers from the factory, or to provide any kind of restitution for the people who have been damaged, or for the children who are being born with birth defects. They just took the position, we are not liable.
And I also understand that they have also taken the position of not being forthcoming with any information about the chemicals that the company that they bought used, so that you can treat people who have medical problems.
Yeah. This is the one corporate response that we just cannot come to terms with, and we just cannot make sense of it. Because we know that Union Carbide had carried out research for many years at the Carnegie Mellon Institute in Pittsburgh on the effect of methyl isocyanate on living systems. So after the disaster, we wanted to find out what was the gas leak, what was the composition, and what effect it has on people's bodies. Because before the disaster, there was only one research paper published on the effect of this gas. That was because some 6 firemen were exposed to this gas when in a burning foam factory. So there was nothing available. And we have been asking Union Carbide, we are still asking them, and they claim that this information is a trade secret. We even went to meet with the vice president of Union Carbide, Joseph Gagan, with just one request. He said, please give us this information so that our doctors can treat people better and we know what to anticipate. Like, we never knew that the next generation will be affected. How many more generations will be affected? This information would prepare us healthcare system-wise. But we even went to Dow. We said, please give us this information. Now that you have taken over Union Carbide, you should have this information. But they never gave us. They are claiming that it's a trade secret.
As well, we were talking before we went live, you were saying that in reports you've seen there are spikes, chemical spikes or something to that effect, yeah, that you're trying to identify what the chemical is, and their response is, well, that's not the one we're being sued for or whatever. Can you expand on that briefly?
Yeah, when in 1990, our group, that is the Bhopal Group for Information and Action, got samples of groundwater and soil tested in Boston, actually, in the Citizens Environmental Laboratory in Boston. And then we presented this information in the annual general meeting of Union Carbide. So immediately we found that they had retained this organization called Arthur D. Little, which incidentally was the same company that had helped Union Carbide in fabricating the sabotage by workers story. So the same Arthur D. Little was retained by Union Carbide, and Arthur D. Little retained an Indian agency to carry out environmental investigation, and this was the National Environmental Engineering Research Institute in India, and the standard of operating procedures were made by Arthur D. Little. The investigations were carried out by NEERI, the National Environmental Engineering Research Institute. And we have seen the report. The report is an utter trash in terms of just its scientific rigor, because we find there were so many peaks in that they found during the spectrometry. And in those peaks which correspond to specific chemicals that could well be very toxic chemicals, those peaks have remained unidentified. What they have said is this peak does not correspond to X chemical. So what is shown is that X chemical is not present. It doesn't say that Y chemical is actually present. So this was another attempt by Union Carbide, by retaining Arthur D. Little, to show that there was no damage. And in fact, when our first report and subsequent reports by organizations such as Greenpeace have shown that it is indeed a global toxic hotspot in which there are mercury, particularly in some spots, is over 6 million times more than what the EPA suggests as the background. So there is mercury, there is chromium, nickel, these are the heavy metals. But there is also dichlorobenzene, trichlorobenzenes, and chloroform, carbon tetrachloride, and a range of organochlorines, not just in the water, groundwater, in high concentrations, or in the soil, in the vegetables, but also in the mother's milk. So the children, the infants, are essentially nursing on milk that is contaminated with a range of phthalates, with polynuclear aromatic hydrocarbons and heavy metals. There's a lot of mercury in the breast milk of mothers in those communities.
So as a comparison for people listening here in the States, if one breaks a thermometer or a fluorescent light bulb, it's a big panic situation to avoid the mercury, yet it sounds like the equivalent of you have broken thermometers everywhere.
Worse than that. I've seen children near the factory squeezing the soil and taking out mercury, and they make toys with that. And there's so much mercury in some places.
All right, I want to get to Safreen's story. And you are basically the next generation of the people who were exposed. Tell us about your efforts to try and make right of this tragedy.
How are you trying to make things better for children? We are doing different
kinds of work. और जो है ना, अगर हमें पता भी लगता है कि डाउ या यूनियन कार्बाइड कहीं कंपनी खोल रही है, उसके खिलाफ कार्यक्रम कर
that we do different kinds of actions, we decide together, and if we find there's something new that Union Carbide or Dow is doing in our country, we go there, we do some action and make it known to people. विकलांग वाला बता
क्या?
विकलांग सेवा समिति जयपुर फुट.
हाँ, और हम लोग ने चेन्नई में एक ना जयपुर फुट नाम की संस्था है जो है ना पीओ का पेड़ लगा रही थी, तो फिर हम लोग को पता लगा कि डाउ ने ना उस संस्था को पैसे दिए हैं, तो फिर हमने वहाँ पर जाकर और वहाँ के लोगों को बताया कि जो पीयू का पेड़ लगा रहे हैं वो भी एमआईसी से बना हुआ है, जो भोपाल में गैस निकली थी. अगर उसका पेड़ लगाएंगे बच्चों को तो है ना उनकी जान को खतरा है, अगर कुछ भी गलती से चिंगारी निकल जाती है, उसमें आग लग जाती है, तो जो गैस भोपाल में निकली थी वही गैस इसमें निकलेगी और है ना उनकी जान को खतरा होगा.
Like we found out that Dow Chemical had given a lot of money to this organization that works in providing artificial feet to disabled people. But we found out that what the deal was, that the artificial feet which have been made with rubber this last 30 years, the organization had to agree to make the artificial feet with polyurethane, which is a Dow product. So we then went to this disability camp and explained to people that the Dow, which was making people disabled elsewhere and which was the cause for children being born disabled, should not be allowed to do this, and more importantly should not be allowed to make this artificial feet with polyurethane, because as they explained, polyurethane is a chemical that when it burns it produces the same gas, methyl isocyanate, that leaked in Union Carbide. So as a result of our interventions, the organization had to wind up their disability camp.
हमने कहा कि वो भोपाल में इतने सारे बच्चे विकलांग पैदा है, उनकी जिम्मेदारी तो ले नहीं रहा है, और भी बच्चों को है ना बचाने के बदले उनको भी उनकी जान ले रहा है.
And we explained to the organizers that there are so many children that were being born disabled because of Dow. And not just in Bhopal, but they were causing damage to children's health everywhere else.
इसी तरह से हम लोग ने दिल्ली में भी कार्यक्रम किए, प्रधानमंत्री को खून से चिट्ठी भी लिखी, कफन ओढ़कर भी कार्यक्रम किया और जंजीर बांधकर भी कार्यक्रम किया, और बच्चों ने प्रधानमंत्री को दिल भी दिया उनके दफ्तर में जाकर.
We did several actions last year in Delhi. We wrote a letter to the Prime Minister with our blood. We went and chained ourselves to the Prime Minister's house with banners on us. We went and staged a die-in in front of the Prime Minister's office. And to move him, we also collected hearts, paper hearts, made by children, school children in Delhi, and took all these hearts to the Prime Minister as a part of Have a Heart, Prime Minister campaign.
बच्चे जेल में भी गए, एक रात जेल में भी रुके, पुलिस वालों ने बच्चों के साथ मारपीट भी की और बच्चों ने 24 घंटे का अनशन भी करा.
Children were also arrested along with others and beaten up in the police station, and they were detained overnight at the police station while adults were sent to jail. And the children also took part in the 22-day hunger strike by the activists. And they participated by joining in for one day, 24 hours.
So, Safreen, have you noticed any physical effects from your parents' exposure and your exposure to the local water there that's been, water and environment that's been heavily tainted?
गैस की वजह से आपके माता पिता को किस तरह की तकलीफ पहुंची और पानी की वजह से आपको और दूसरे लोगों को कैसे पहुंची? सरिता कभी बता सकती?
मेरे मम्मी पापा जो गैस निकली थी उसकी वजह से पापा हार्ट के मरीज हैं और मम्मी की आंखों में जलन होती है, और जो मेरे बड़े भाई हैं उनसे भारी वजन नहीं उठाते बनता, और पानी की वजह से हम लोग की सांसें फूलती हैं और भारी वजन मतलब है ना स्कूल बैग नहीं ले जा पाते, और बोर्ड की साइड ध्यान से देखो तो आंखों में से आंसू गिरते हैं.
So my parents were both exposed. My father still has heart problems. My mother's eyes burn. And my eldest brother cannot do any physical work. And because of the water, all of us children, we have breathlessness. Even when we carry our school bag for a distance, we get breathless. And when I look at the board, blackboard, my eyes start watering.
और जो हमारे दोस्त हैं उनमें भी इसी तरह की अलग-अलग तरह की तो किसी को पानी की वजह से है ना तो एक जो हमारी सहेली सरिता नाम की तो उसकी ना हाथ की पूरे हाथ की खाल निकलती है और पसीना आता और ठंडे रहते
हैं. And many of my friends have similar problems. Sarita, who's also come with her to the US, Sarita's skin peels off from her hands and her feet, and it she sweats a lot from her hands and feet, and her body becomes very cold.
All right, only a few minutes left. What would you like both Dow to do, the governments to do, and then people listening to do?
What we would like Dow to do is to accept its liabilities in Bhopal, carry out a cleanup of the water and the soil, and pay for the health damages that it has caused, and basically listen to what the Indian court says. And from the Indian government, we want that it should stand up more for the people that has been poisoned and that are being killed, and less for the corporations that it has continued to support. We are asking that the government take legal action against Union Carbide, because it is absconding from justice in India, and to make Dow clean up the toxic waste by putting pressure on its subsidiary in India, which continues to operate. And most of all, of course, from both of them, we do not expect to be radically depart from the how they have been in the last 25 years. But we, most of all, we expect that people in the U.S., and particularly listeners of to what we are saying now, they help us in ways they can to put pressure on Dow, and by one of the initiatives that has started here thankfully by the congressman is to write a joint letter to the board of directors. And this initiative was started by Congressman Frank Pallone. So people could write or call their congressman and ask them to also add their names to this sign-on letter to Dow. And there is another initiative that we have discussed with Congressman Henry Waxman, who has taken a lot of interest on the Bhopal issue earlier and had actually organized a chairman of the congressional hearing on Bhopal immediately after the disaster. So we are hopeful that Congressman Waxman will have another hearing sometime possibly in the fall, and in which Dow will be questioned on why it does not accept liability in Bhopal, whereas it has done so in the US. Why these double standards? So people can help that way, and also people could help by directly writing to Dow and finding out why it is not being responsible. Because what Dow believes that they could avoid a bunch of people in Bhopal making noise, but when people in this country, when students in so many universities have spoken on this, Dow has had to respond. So, and the other way that people can help is by supporting our clinic. I also work in a clinic that provides free medical care to the survivors and those poisoned by groundwater. We offer treatment through modern medicine, but also through Ayurveda, which is the Indian indigenous system of healing based on herbs, and yoga. So people could donate money, because we only run through individual donations. We refuse to take any corporate money or money from funding organizations. And people could also volunteer by going out to our website and writing to us.
All right. And what is that website?
The websites we have for the campaign and for information on Union Carbide and Dow, it is www.bhopal.net. Bhopal is spelled B-H-O-P-A-L. And for information on the Sambhavna Trust Clinic that offers free medical care, that is available on www.bhopal.org. Bhopal is B-H-O-P-A-L. We also have a website specially for students and to give them information and get them active. And this is www.studentsforbhopal.org.
All right. Well, with that, we are unfortunately out of time. I want to thank you both for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you very much.